Baby's in good hands. Curtis Gunsmithing. Call 231-838-5571.
Everybody, welcome back into the show. Second half hour of our history lesson today with Pastor Chatfield, hour number two. The 16th Amendment to the United States Constitution was finally ratified on February 3rd, 1913. The amendment gave Congress the power to collect income tax. It was proposed by the Congress in 1909. It took basically 4 years for 36 out of 48 states to ratify it. And when it started, Pastor Chatfield, 1%.
Yes, I'm here.
Yeah, 1% was the income tax when it was finally ratified in 1913. Man, how we've come so much farther on that. Unbelievable.
Right. Yeah. And that whole, the 16th, 17th, 18th amendments were all known as the Progressive Amendments.
Yep.
Well-intentioned, I suppose. Even Prohibition, the 18th Amendment, well-intentioned. But can you actually, although you hear me say often, you know, but I go to the Sheboygan County Jail and I tell people, don't drink, don't start drinking alcohol. But that said, you just can't make it illegal. But we did. And then, you know, it is what it is. And then that is what it is. That is what happened. So. Okay. So I was talking about somehow my microphone. You want me to try to get my microphone?
Nope. It's not. I'm good. Okay. I can hear you loud and clear.
Okay, very good. So, 1898, Spanish-American War, McKinley was president, and he was a Republican, kind of a isolationist? No, but you know what? This is the era of imperialism. And there is a historical question, how imperialistic was the United States? And I say not too, but we did practice a little bit of imperialism. And you had the Cubans wanted to be independent. They did not want Spain controlling them. And in our interest, we didn't, because of the Monroe Doctrine, we did not want Spain controlling Cuba. So we asked Spain, recognize Cuban desires to be independent. They didn't. Eventually, our ship, the Maine, was blown up in Havana Harbor. We went to war. And it was, as some people said, it was a splendid little war, 3-month war, where we defeated them. And we took control of Cuba. We took control of the Philippines. That's two places that the United States controlled. And we thought for their best interest. That is the way that is. Mm-hmm. Now, some people...
When did we lose control of Cuba?
We gave it back, as we promised to do.
Okay, that was part of the deal, right?
Yes, we gave it back, something called the Teller Amendment. Yeah, we gave it back, as we promised to do. And we gave back independence to the Philippines, or we gave independence to the Philippines. So we've, up until Castro, we had still had a very good relationship with Cuba. And as a matter of fact, even to this day, a lot of Cubans living in the United States who remember... at least have ancestors that remember this, that, the United States and Cuba had a very close relationship until after Castro took power. When was that? 58, I think, 1958.
Right. 50. Yeah, I was born. Yep.
You know, so there you go. So that's, but this whole notion of imperialism. So President Trump says, we're going to take over Gaza because it just makes sense. We ended up on this. If we've been trying to have a two-state solution. By the way, at the press conference, a reporter says, well, does that mean that you're abandoning the two-state solution policy? And he says, two states? Well, I didn't mention anything about two-state or one state. I'm saying you can't keep doing the same thing over and over, and it doesn't work. It's just common sense. Now, you know, by the way, here's, if I was arguing for the president, I would say, okay, what's the alternative of the United States coming in there and taking over the Gaza Strip and making it the Riviera of, you know, the Riviera of the Middle East? I mean, let's really develop it.
Sure.
Here's the only alternative. You want us to leave it a rubble?
Right.
Well, I suppose we could do that. That would be another option. We're not going to put a dime into this. There you go. But that would be cruel. See, President Trump, I really think this is true. He looks at that and he says, man, these people, who would want to live in the rubble in Gaza?
Right.
Well, the United States will just come in there. We'll take control of it. The most controversial part of this was, and the people that are there now, we will let them go to another country or seven other countries. They can leave. And, you know, that's a big, big, big issue in the Middle East right now. One of the big issues in Israel right now is they're fighting this idea that the Arabs that left decades ago mm-hmm. and their children, they want what's called the right to return. They want, in other words, we want to come back. And Israel says, we're not going to let everybody come back.
My simple question, Pastor Jeff, explain this to me. Why? Why do they have to go back there? If their religion causes them to be more in line with other surrounding neighboring countries, why do they have to move back to Gaza? Why can't they go somewhere else?
Okay. Just like the Jewish people want to go back to Israel. They view it as their homeland.
And then it's in the Bible, it's their homeland.
Right, but they don't accept that as an authority. I accept it. You do.
Yeah.
They don't accept that. Now, they would say, here's the argument from the other side. They say, look, we've been here for generations. Why should we leave? Well, here, I think it's been proven that Israel would live in peace with their neighbors. It's not Israel that's starting this war. It wasn't Israel that on October 7th sent men over and slaughtered 1,300 people. They didn't start this.
No.
And the average person's, look, if you start a war and you lose Hamas, you know what? You're going to have to pay the consequences, and you've
absolutely
lost.
You're the loser. Just, go home.
And President Trump looked at the situation, and he said, what can we do to help? We're going to try to help. Let me read you something that McKinley said about the Philippines. And now we look at this, and it sounds really racist. But it wasn't in the day. Here's what he said. He said, there was nothing left for us to do but to take them all and to educate the Filipinos and uplift and civilize and Christianize them, and by God's grace, do the very best we could by them. So after the war, we went in there, and we're going to try to educate them, civilize them, and Christianize them. That's what we're going to do. Taft, who later became president after Teddy Roosevelt, he was appointed governor of the Philippines after the French and Indian War. He said this. Sounds racist now, but because you and I have been conditioned into thinking a certain way. Here's what he said. He told President McKinley, quote, our little brown brothers, talking about the Filipinos, would need 50 or 100 years of close supervision to develop anything resembling Anglo-Saxon political principles and skills.
Mm-hmm.
Now, let me just tell you this. I don't see any hatred in calling the Filipinos our little brown brothers.
Right.
But it sounds so foreign. Now, and he said, it just sounds so foreign.
After we've been conditioned by these leftist socialist progressives, absolutely. You're a racist for saying that.
Yes. And he said, it's going to take 100 years, 50 to 100 years, to develop anything resembling Anglo-Saxon political principles and skills. I mean, let me tell you something that I said at when we invaded Iraq in 2003. Of course, I don't have it on tape anywhere, but I said, look, they are not ready for a Republican form of government there.
No.
They don't know how to do it.
No.
See, our intentions were good. We're going to throw out Saddam Hussein. We're going to prevent any of the Ba'athists who ran the government, the Ba'athist Party in Iraq. We're going to prevent them from getting in there and having any part in the political system.
Yeah.
And we're going to let the Iraqi people They're gonna control,
govern themselves. Yes,
but they weren't ready for that.
And no.
What did we get? We got more extremist Islamists taking over.
Yep.
Who were really worse than Saddam Hussein, because Saddam Hussein was a tyrant, but he wasn't a religious tyrant. He was just a tyrant and not a good guy, of course not. But has Iraq? Do they have a well-functioning Republican form of government now, 20 years later?
No,
because they had no practice at it. Mm-hmm. You can't, listen, a country can impose martial law, but you can't impose constitutional Republican form of government on people when they have no education. They have no practice. They have no history. And that's
they
all
don't
that,
know how to do it.
Right. I mean, when we lose elections, we complain, then we try to get them next time, next
right.
election.
Yep,
that's what we do in our country, but we've had 300 or 400 years of experience with this now. I mean, you know, 1619, the first House of Burgesses in Virginia, which was the first representative assembly in the United States. It's been over 400 years we've been practicing this, and before that, England had, you know, a constitutional monarchy. We've had a lot of practice on a Republican form of government. They don't have it around the world. They don't look. If we just rebuild Gaza and say, okay, you guys elect your own leaders, Hamas will come back in and they'll do the same thing again.
Right.
President Trump just looked at that and said, this is what's going to happen. And his heart, I think, was right. We're going to help these people. We'll take it over. We'll help them.
What now, do you think Bibi Netanyahu said to Trump when he bounced this idea off of him when they were in private? What do you think he said? You're one crazy SOB, aren't you?
Yeah. Well, no. I tell you what he said publicly. He said, President Trump thinks outside the box.
Yes.
He thinks outside the box. And he does.
Do you think would welcome our help in trying to get this resolved and to modernize Gaza and bring them into the 21st century?
Yes, he did say that. Yes, I support this. Yes, this is a good idea.
Yeah.
Now, he knows that everybody in the world, virtually everybody in the world, thinks this can't be done. But again, what's the alternative? Anybody doesn't like what President Trump said. What's your alternative?
Yeah. What's your idea? There's mine. What's yours?
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Well, it's going to be interesting. And as many of his executive orders, his cabinet selections, everything they're doing, man, it's going to be interesting first 100 days. That's for sure.
That's right.
Final segment of today's discussion with Pastor Chatfield. We'll be right back.
Are you one of the many people that have always wanted to give to your favorite charity or non-for-profit such as your church, school, or local community, but believe that it's way out of your budget, a goal that you've always wanted to fulfill? Let me show you some strategies that would benefit you and your favorite charity. Call Laura today at Bogdan Insurance, 231-264-6890. Again, 231-264-6890. Serving Northern Michigan since 1998.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, CEO of MyPillow. I support this show, and I would like to offer you our biggest discounts for listening. So please go to our website, MyPillow.com, and put in the promo code at the end of this message to get the biggest discounts. Again, thanks for listening, and God bless.
Thanks, Mike. Folks, go to MyPillow.com and enter the promo code TruckerRandy, or call 800-654-9659.
Trucker Randy here. Let's face it, we're all getting older, but we don't have to feel the pains of getting older. Most people and even our pets have daily pain. Don't let pain slow you down. Get natural relief with CBD products from Patriots Relief. Designed by nature and trusted by millions, CBD synergistically works with your body to naturally relieve pain along with many other benefits. CBD is not marijuana and you will not get high. Vicki and I trust Patriots Relief products because they truly work. Go to their website, patriotsrelief.com, then call Tim and his family at 877-230-1776. Mention the promo code TR1 to get the biggest discounts. Again, call 877-230-1776 and mention TR1. PatriotsRelief.com.
Scott Hawley came to our home and explained all the benefits of investing in a safe step walk-in tub and shower. After hearing all the options and features, all while using fresh, chemical-free water every night, made our decision a no-brainer. Call or text Scott at 231-534-0755 to schedule a free home visit. Mention Trucker Randy and get a $500 discount. Again, call or text Scott at 231-534-0755.
Maybe you're looking to sell an old firearm that's been sitting around the house just collecting dust. Or maybe you've been thinking it's time to upgrade to a newer model or caliber. Either way, the place to go is Curtis Gunsmith in Petoskey. Pistols, rifles, shotguns, they buy and sell pretty much anything that goes boom when you pull the trigger. Except rocket launchers, they don't buy or sell those. So if you're looking for a new firearm or just want to sell old Betsy, you're sure to get a fair price and friendly service to boot at Curtis Gunsmith in Petoskey.
Hey, everybody, welcome back into the show. Final segment of our discussion with Pastor Chatfield, who, Pastor Chatfield, instead of unmuting his mic, ended the call. Oh, brother, I got to ring him back in. Let's see if we can get him added back into the conversation. He's adding him back in right now. That was funny. That mute button is real close to the hang-up button. Let's see if he re-engages with us. I wanted to get his final thoughts about William McKinley and ask him actually a very important question. There he is. I think, are you there? Sir, are you there? Nope. Nope. Let's see. Try this here. Pastor Jeffield, are you there, sir? I see you there. Well, maybe he's not connected in. That's funny. Yeah, I know. You're texting me, telling me to add you back in. Okay, click on this. There he goes. And let's see if he answers this time. Oh, that's funny. Well, it's kind of interesting because I think there's a lot of parallels. And now he's unavailable. Okay, let me do this real quick. I'm going to disconnect from the studio and I'll call you guys. There he is. Good morning, sir.
Good morning again. I don't know how that happened.
Well, I do. You went to unmute your mic and you hit the end the call button is what you did. They're right next to each other. That's
okay,
what you did.
I
got a question for you. Do you see potentially history repeating itself, McKinley being shot in his second term, 6 months into a second term, Donald Trump, we've already had two assassination attempts. Do you see that history could possibly repeat itself like it did with McKinley?
Of course it could, but let's pray that it doesn't.
Right.
What I find unusual is last week we were talking about, you know, Mount McKinley and President Trump making it go back to Mount McKinley again.
Yeah, getting rid of Mount Denali.
After President Obama changed the name. Okay. And that's why, but this is interesting because President McKinley was, you know, he felt a moral responsibility to help the Cubans and help the Philippines, and he was not afraid of expanding American territory. President Trump is the same. He, in a lot of ways, I mean, we'll take over Gaza, and maybe we'll buy Greenland. He made statements, and I don't know how serious he is. But, you know, he says, you know, we'll do what's in America's best interest. It's been a long time since America has attained any more property around the world. And I'm not an imperialist. I don't think President Trump is at heart, but he's not afraid to throw out ideas. He's unafraid of what they're going to say about him on MSNBC. Because they're already, you know, saying that he's a tyrant and he's going to ethnic cleansing and it's a new age of imperialism and executive power. I remember them saying all sorts of different things about President Obama or Biden when they were expanding their power. I mean, they didn't do that to them. They just don't like President Trump's policies.
Right.
But he is refreshingly honest. Refreshingly honest. The whole and that parallels. Is it imperialistic for us to quote take over Gaza? Well, you can call whatever you want to call it. But if we're going to be involved and we're going and we want peace and we and if indeed our relationship with Israel should be special. Wow, maybe that's something to look at. And he is. I think he was serious. We'll see. God knows. We'll see.
Yeah. Well, here's the point. Because I looked at McKinley. I looked at the track record. That's why I basically asked you to do it. And I'm seeing all this reoccurring themes, like Trump repeating history, utilizing a lot of McKinley's tactics. And I'm like, you know, they've already tried to kill him twice. Once for sure, where it drew blood, and then they found the other guy hiding in the bushes on his golf course. But my question is this. He continues down this road with tariffs. He continues down this road of pushing foreign leaders. He's going to tick off a lot of people. What's your reaction to that statement?
Secret Service better do their job. You know, what else can I say?
Right.
What else can I say? And by the way, it reminds me, you know, you were talking about McKinley. He didn't want, he wanted to shake hands with people. He didn't want special treatment. And JFK, back in 1963, you know, some people are saying you should drive in a covered car. And he didn't want to. He said, I don't want to do that. Presidents don't want to do that. You know, I mean, there's President Lincoln in Ford's Theater with one protective agent who took a break, which allowed John Wilkes Booth to slip in from behind and shoot the president. Brave men, they don't want to go into a shell. They don't want that. And we pray that God would protect them. Of course, in the Secret Service has got to do their job. But yeah. No, I certainly hope it doesn't repeat itself.
Amen.
I don't think it will. We're going to pray. What else can I say?
And also, I think with the new Secret Service, the new FBI director, I think the whole Department of Justice, I think he's going to get protected, absolutely. What do you got planned in store for Sunday Servant?
Well,
are we done with the mountains yet?
Yes. We finished the mountains a week ago, 10 days ago.
I wasn't able to listen last Sunday. I had a Zoom meeting I had to do during church.
Okay. All right. Well, then we'll see you this Sunday then, but we're done with the mountains. Yes.
Very good. Good, sir. Drive safe. We'll talk to you later.
Yes, sir.
Final third hour of today's show. We'll be right back.
Thank you for listening to Your Defending Fathers with Trucker Randy Bishop.
Hey everybody, it's Trucker Randy, the Yo-Yo Diet King. I have literally lost hundreds of pounds in my life. Slim Fast in the 90s, Nutrisystem in 2000, South Beach, Superfoods, they all worked in the short term, only to gain it all back, plus some. Now that I'm 65, I really wanted to find a program that would increase my metabolism to burn my belly fat, bring my hormones back to my younger days, without any exercising. Then I met Missy of MyPure Health Solutions. She explained how her program does exactly what I was looking for. Go to TruckerRandyHealth.com, follow my journey with Missy, and see that I dropped 22 pounds of body fat in the first 14 days without exercising.